Romans chapter 4 and verse 9 to verse 12 then for this morning. And we get to touch on the subject of circumcision one more time. For all those who are like, man, it's over. It's not over. We got a whole other five verses to look at this morning. I don't know if anyone's been, I know we're having a bit of technical issues, so I'm sorry that's happening. But if anyone's ever been to Wednesbury, has anyone been to Wednesbury before? Okay, so no one's, not many people go there. I have never intentionally been to Wednesbury in my life, and yet I've probably driven through the town centre about seven times now. Because what happens is when you're driving along on the M6, sometimes you get really, really bad traffic on the M6. And so what, and right up near Wednesbury, I don't know if everyone's just going to IKEA at that one moment in time, but there's loads of roadworks, loads and loads of traffic. And so there's always diversions at Wednesbury. And it's like, go off here. Instead of going all the way on the motorway, we want you to come off. We want you to go all the way around Wednesbury, and then off you go to your destination along the M6. So driving down to Bath from Sunderland or from Stoke or whatever, or driving up, it's just constant. And even the other day when we were driving up from Bath again, there was serious roadworks. I was like, oh man, we're going to go to Wednesbury, and like of all the places to get to go to. Why on earth are we talking about detours in Wednesbury? We're going to be touching on this subject of circumcision and the law again today, and this idea of it being a detour until the roadworks get set up properly so we can get right back on the M6 again. And the idea then of the gospel is that because there's now been a way made, because the clearance has been lifted, the roadworks have finished, there's now a clear way along the M6 essentially, and you don't need to take the detour anymore, is what we're going to be looking at in Romans chapter 4. All right, so sit with me on that one as we go through this passage today. So Matt last week in chapter 4 verse 1 to verse 8 was touching on the subject of we're not saved by our works, or we're not saved by the law, and that was an illustration, the life of Abraham, based on what Paul had already said in chapter 3 verse 27 to 28. In 3:27 to 28, he says we're not saved by our works, and then chapter 4 verse 1 to 8, he demonstrates that Abraham wasn't saved by his works. Then it's not by circumcision. So chapter 3, verse 29 to 30, Paul says you don't have to be circumcised to be made right with God. And now he's going to illustrate that in chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 12. So he's using the life of Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish people. So it's significant that he's using Abraham because he's the guy who started the whole Jewish nation. And he wants to demonstrate that this is a reality taught in the law and the prophets. So again, last week, Matt showed us that we can receive and experience the wonderful joy of being forgiven of our sins and being made right with God again, apart from our works. And today we're going to see that Paul wants to show us that we can experience this blessedness, thankfully, apart from circumcision. Or in other words, without being Jewish. Without being Jewish. So remember, in the Jewish mind, there are two people groups, okay? In our mind, we look around and there's people from all across the world here. We've got Eritreans, we've got Nigerians, we've got the Irish, we've got the Welsh, sadly, we got the Scots, we got everyone. But in the Jewish mindset, there's only two people groups, the Jew and the non-Jew, right? The Jew and the Gentile, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. It's the only two people groups there are in the Jewish mind. And as far as they were concerned, back in this period of history, the only way to be right with God, to be one of the people of God, to come near to God was by being Jewish. So a non-Jew, the only way a non-Jew could be made right with God would be to become a Jew, right? So if you think about it, the only way to get from Bath to Stoke via Birmingham, if there's a roadworks, is through Wednesbury, okay? It's the only way. You have to get through Wednesbury if there's the roadworks. So it's the only way to get from A to B is to go through C. That's the only way. And that's the Jewish mindset back here. You had to become a Jew and then be made right with God. And this is still taught today, actually, in Morocco. There's a beautiful, beautiful village right up on a hill. It's just absolutely stunning. I've been there a few times, and it's just one of those ones where it's like houses go all the way up this hill, and it's winding. It's one of those picturesque Instagram-worthy ones. But you keep climbing up the hills and you go round and round and round and round, and it gets to this point where there's barriers. And it says, you cannot, this is a sacred site. You cannot cross into the sacred site unless you're a Muslim. And that's, I mean, I'm not against them saying that, but that's basically what they're saying. So you have, there's a barrier, and you have to bow underneath because you're basically saying I am a Muslim, and then you come up the other side, and then you're in the sacred area where they believe holy things can happen. So this is the idea. This is still a mindset today that you have to become Muslim or you have to become Jewish to be made right with God in this context in Romans 4. So let's see what Paul has to say about that. Let's see if Paul agrees with that you have to become Jewish to be made right with God. So, number one, we're going to look at Abraham himself, the salvation of Abraham. How was Abraham saved? And that's verse 9 to verse 11a. And so we touch on this. The first question we have for us then is when Abraham was circumcised. When was Abraham circumcised? In verse 9 to verse 10. So it begins, does this blessedness then? And what is this blessedness? This blessedness, as we've saw last week, is the blessing of being right with God again, the blessing of all of our sins being forgiven, the blessing of being able to come near to God, and the blessing of no longer being counted as guilty before Him. That's the blessing that's being spoken about here. So we ask this question, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only? Is it only the Jew that has access to this blessing? Is it only through circumcision that we can see receive this right relationship with God again? Or upon the uncircumcised also? Can others get in on this? Can the nations receive this blessing too? And Paul has already asked this question for us in chapter 3, verse 29 to 30. He asked the question, is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? And the answer he gives is yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify, who will make right the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So he's already answered the question, why is he asking again? And the reason is because he wants to show us through Abraham and illustrate his point that he's been making. So we get to the end of verse 9, and he asks this question, or he says this, for we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness, not works and not circumcision, but faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. As Matt demonstrated that last week in his message, Abraham was saved by faith, not by his works. But now we get to this issue about circumcision. So we get to verse 10. How then was it accounted? Or the better maybe for us is when did it happen? When was he made right before God? When did this take place? When did his faith justify him? When did his faith make him right with a holy God? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? This is the question that we have for us. This is the question for us today, really. What state was Abraham in when he was made righteous by faith? Was he already circumcised when he was made right with God by faith? So think with me for a second about the Jewish argument. If Abraham had already been circumcised and then 10 years later he's made right with God, what do you think the Jewish argument might become? You need faith plus circumcision. Faith plus circumcision, which is all across the world today, isn't it? The messages of all the religions. Yeah, you have to have faith. But you also need to have dot, dot, dot. You need to have faith plus works. You need to have faith plus generosity. You have to have faith plus circumcision. You have to have faith plus church attendance. Whatever it is, you have to have faith plus. And they would be able to argue, well, Paul, Abraham was circumcised. Then he was made right with God. Therefore, you need circumcision and faith. Case closed. Only the Jews have access to God. Or was he made right with God before he was circumcised? Meaning that faith alone is what saved him. Faith alone is what saved him. And this is the big question then. Because if Abraham was circumcised and then we had faith and was made right with God, then all of our men would have to be circumcised in order to be made right with God. That would be the situation that we find ourselves in. But the answer given to us in verse 10 is this. Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Abraham is made right with God before he was circumcised. And what's the even better news than this It didn't happen the next day either. Because if Abraham had trusted God, was made right with God, and then the next day he was circumcised, what would the argument be? You would need to have faith, and then you would have to be circumcised. But let's see the chronology of Abraham's life. Let's look and see what happened in the story of Abraham. Abraham is made right with God in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Okay, God gave him a promise, and he believed that promise. And it says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and he was made right with God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. In that moment that Abraham believed God, God said, I'm going to count you, even though you're not righteous, I'm going to count you as righteous. Even though you've sinned against me, even though previously you were worshiping false gods, and even though you're lying and you're manipulating and deceiving at times, I'm going to count you. I'm going to look at you and consider you to be a righteous person because you've trusted in me. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Now, in Genesis 16, verse 16, Abraham is 86 years old. Okay, we don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know the time frame between Genesis 15, 6 and Genesis 16, 16. Okay, but we do know that in Genesis 16, 16, he's 86 years old. Then in Genesis 17, verse 24, he's circumcised at 99 years old, right? So we need, Amanda, you're the mathematician in here. What's the gap between 86 and 99? 13. Excellent. Very good. Everyone else was like, why are you asking? We all know that answer, right? 13, right? 13 years. So he was right with God in Genesis 15, 6. There's at least 13 years have gone by between him being right with God by faith and being circumcised. At least 13 years. And Jewish tradition suggests it's even more. In fact, Jewish tradition teaches that Abraham was circumcised 29 years after Genesis 15. That's what the Jewish people believe. Jewish tradition. 29 years after he was made right with God, he was circumcised. And if that's the case, Abraham was right with God almost 3 decades before being circumcised. Or we could say it like this. He was made right with God almost 3 decades before being a Jew. Abraham wasn't a Jew at this point, and he was right with God. And if that's the case, then we don't have to become Jews to be made right with God either. But we get to this next question, why was Abraham circumcised? So when he was circumcised, he was circumcised when he was circumcised after he'd believed, 30 years perhaps, or at least 13 years after he'd believed. Why then was he circumcised? Why would God have it to be so? Why did God have Abraham circumcised if it wasn't a way to be made right with him? Why would he do that? Why give someone this sign if it's not a way to be made right with you? And Paul says in verse 11, he received it as a sign and a seal of the righteousness of the faith. So a sign and a seal. In other words, it's a sign and seal of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, the promise that God was going to bring a seed through this man. It was a permanent, physical reminder of the promise of God that through Abraham's descendants, all the nations are, through his descendant, sorry, all the nations would be blessed. Okay? It's a permanent, physical reminder of this promise that through your seed, all the nations would be blessed. We use signs and seals today. Thankfully, one's not so physical. For example, I have a wedding ring. And this wedding ring is a sign and a seal. It symbolizes that I made a covenant, right? So just the same, Abraham's circumcision is a sign of this promise that he's made with God. I have a wedding ring, which is a sign. You look at this wedding ring, and you're like, that is a sign that he's made a promise with somebody that he's going to love that person and honor that person and do all the things you're meant to do, like sickness and health and all that stuff, right? This is a sign that this is the real thing, right? This is not my wedding. This is not my marriage, okay? This is not my wife. We know, wow, you couldn't count to 13 and now you're telling us your ring's not your wife. Smart guy. But this is not my wife. This is a symbol of my wife. It's a symbol of the marriage that we have with one another. It's a symbol of the covenant made between a husband and a wife. The British monarchs have this as well. The British monarch have this stamp of approval, don't they? Have you ever seen the stamp of approval on your food?
I think they have it on clothes.
Is it my wearing barber? I think they have it on barber. They have it on Heinz ketchup. They have it on Cadbury's, Kellogg's, Corn Flakes, and it's basically the stamp of approval. Okay, that's been. This is great. This is, we give our royal seal to this. Eat this stuff because it's really tasty, right? Wear these clothes because they're really good quality. And so it's by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, the purveyors of Heinz products. And you're using your tomato ketchup. You're like, I'm pretty posh, you know? The Queen has sealed this one for me. So the British, this is the idea of a stamp of approval. And the circumcision was, it didn't make, get this. The circumcision didn't say, if you get circumcised, I approve of you. It's saying, I already approve of you. Therefore, go through this circumcision. Or a signet ring. In history, a king would write a letter and then they would put the wax on and it would seal it, right? And you would know that that was from the king or from the queen. And you couldn't open that then because it was the right person had to receive that. So it was a sign, it's a seal. And that's the idea. So in church life, for example, there are things that we do as signs and seals as well. Symbols, physical, tangible things of a spiritual reality, don't we? We have communion once a month here at Blurton. We eat bread and we drink grape juice, gluten-free bread and non-alcoholic grape juice. We drink that, and there's nothing special. It's just bread, right? As far as I know, you don't pray any mystical prayers over that bread, just bread. It's just grape juice. I think we get it from a common shop. And it's just bread, but it's physical reminder of a spiritual reality. I've tasted Christ. I have feasted on the bread of life, right? I have trusted in his blood, and it's a reminder of his blood shed and his body broken, but it's also a symbol of me receiving that into myself, and I trusted Christ as Savior. So it's a symbol, even though it doesn't save me to have communion. But when I have communion, I'm reminded of the thing that did save me. I'm reminded of my right relationship with God. When we gather together, the very fact that we're gathering here this morning is a symbol that we're united in Jesus Christ. We gather together. We don't meet. Remember, you had to meet on Zoom and you had to meet on YouTube Live and stuff like that. We gather together here this morning as a symbol that we're united in Jesus together, that we're one with him together. We have baptism to symbolize that a person has died and come back to life again in Jesus Christ, that they have a new life in Jesus now. So, and we embrace one another, don't we? One of the things we've been teaching the church is embrace one another, welcome one another warmly, because what we're doing is we're showing one another. When I embrace you warmly, when Matt gives me one of his hugs and Brian gives me one of his belly rubs, it's a reminder. Christ has welcomed me. Christ has received me. So we receive one another. So these are all symbols that to point to a deeper reality. And Abraham's circumcision was just a symbol of this promise, this covenant, this right relationship with God that he had. Circumcision was a mark that he was God's. It was not a means to become God or God's child, right? It was a mark that he belonged to God. It wasn't a means to belong to God. It wasn't the way to belong to God. And that's the same with baptism here. It's the same with communion. It's the same with gathering. Coming to church doesn't make you right with God. Being baptized doesn't make you right with him. Taking communion doesn't make you right with him. But they are signs and symbols for those who have been made right with him to remember and remind one another of this beautiful truth. All right, so that's Abraham. He was circumcised potentially 3 decades after being made right with God. And he was circumcised as a sign and a seal of the fact that he had been made right with God and this promise of the seed coming. Okay, number two, then we have the people of Abraham in verse 11 to verse 12. It says this, he this all took place in verse 11, that he might be the father of all those who believe. So why did God wait so long? Why did God wait so long between Abraham being made right with God and Abraham being circumcised? Why was there at least 13 years, and by Jewish tradition, 30 years? And Paul says the reason is for you. The reason it took so long for him to be that gap between being made right with God and being circumcised was so long was for you guys. It was for me. It was for all of us to be able to know some things that can be true. All right? And that's in verse 11. So first people we're going to look at is the uncircumcised believer, the uncircumcised believer. And that's 11b, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, that the good relationship with God, that being seen as a perfect, complete, non-sinful human being by God could be yours as well, although you are uncircumcised and you're from a tribe or a group of people who are uncircumcised. So here's what it's saying. The fact that Abraham was made right with God before being circumcised means that those who are not Jews, those who have not been circumcised, can also be made right with God without circumcision. So you could be made right with God without circumcision. Through the same way that Abraham was made right with God, which is by believing, by faith, by trusting in God. And then we get to verse 12, the circumcised believer. Verse 12, the circumcised believer. It says, and he's the father, excuse me, the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So this is what this has been saying here. The fact that Abraham is made right with God before being circumcised means that those who are Jewish, those who have been circumcised, can only made right with God through the same way Abraham did, by believing. So they can't say, because they did this in Romans 2, well, I'm circumcised, so I'm right with God. They can't say that because Paul's saying, man, Abraham was right with God 30 years before being circumcised. You don't need circumcision. And in fact, if you have circumcision without faith, you have nothing. If you have faith without circumcision, you have everything. You guys have nothing because you're not trusted in the Christ, even though you've been circumcised. So the Jewish people as a nation were physical descendants of Abraham, right? They come from Abraham's the father of the whole nation of Israel. So they're physical descendants of Abraham. But they're not his spiritual descendants. Okay, this is so important. They're his physical descendants, but not his spiritual descendants. The only way to become a spiritual descendant, sorry, was to share in the same faith that he had. So let's go to John 8, and we'll explore this a little bit. This is the words of Jesus, God in the flesh, our Savior, King and Lord. This is what he has to say. So he's talking to these Jewish people. And they said to him, this is what they responded back to Jesus, we're Abraham's descendants. So they're basically saying, we're fine. We're okay, Jesus. We're the descendants of Abraham. We're all right. And Jesus responds to them in verse 37, and he says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants. I know, right? We're Abraham's descendants. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. Okay? So catch that, and then we'll go to the next little bit. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Now, listen to what Jesus says. This is really important. So he's already said, I know that you're his descendants. I know that. And now they've claimed Abraham as their father. And look what Jesus says. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So what is he saying? He's saying, you're not. You're not. You're his descendants. You physically come from him. I agree with you on that, but you're not his children. Because if you were his children, you would do what he did. And what did he do? He believed and was made right with God. And you refuse to believe. And what's amazing is Abraham is told by God in Genesis 15, your seed is going to bless the nations. And Abraham believed in that promise of the seed. And he was made right with God. And then you have it in John chapter 8, the very seed himself, Jesus, is saying, I'm the one that's been promised. And they refuse to believe. And he's saying, you would believe the seed if you were truly Abraham's children. So they're his descendants, but they're not his children. We're just going to go to Galatians chapter 3 to cover this a little bit more. And then thankfully, we'll not talk about circumcision until at least Galatians, which is books and books away, right, Matt? So we're going to be all right. So, so Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Not circumcision, not by works, only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed, right? That blessing of being made right with God, of sins forgiven, of no longer being guilty, are blessed with believing Abraham, with the same faith that Abraham had. And then verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, that Genesis 15 blessing through the nations, might come upon the Gentiles, the nations, the uncircumcised ones in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I want to go to one final place, the words of Jesus himself, John chapter 11, verse 52. John 11, verse 52. This is not the words of Jesus himself, it's about Jesus. It's the words of John the Apostle, sorry. So we'll read verse 51 for the context, then we'll get verse 52 of John 11. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Jesus would die for the nation. Then verse 52, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So if you've trusted in Jesus, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior at some point in your life, you are one of those scattered abroad ones who've been gathered in to this body of people who belong to the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was circumcised under the law, and we are now united in him. And when God looks at us, he sees us as if we have already been circumcised and we've perfectly obeyed the law, even though we haven't. And now we're made right with God because we've been gathered in one through Jesus Christ. I just have one point really for us this morning to close it all off for us. And it's this, it's by faith alone. It's by faith alone that we're right with God. If you've been a Christian for 15 years, please know this, that if you messed up this week previously, if you blew it this week, the only way to be made right with God is by faith alone, right? It's not by pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not by, God, if you would just forgive me, I'll do this for you, right? It's none of that stuff. It's not, I feel so bad, so I'm going to come and do these things, and hopefully you'll scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. If you're not a Christian, the only way to be made right with God is by faith alone. If you are a Christian and you've been messing up, the only way to be made right with him is by faith alone, by faith alone, and by faith alone. And what's beautiful is Abraham was a stumbler. If you read the story of Abraham, he didn't have perfect faith all of the time. In fact, after Genesis 15, you can see him messing up quite a few more times. And what's so beautiful is that it's not by our faith and perfect obedience. It's by our faith and his perfect obedience. Our faith and his perfect obedience. Our stumbling faith, which is sometimes up high, and you had a good day and everything's going well, and you're like, man, as Abby prayed, the mountaintop experiences, and you're like, I'm doing really well this week. I've had victory this week. I'm doing great. I'm right with God. My strong faith. But it's also that weak, trembling, in the valley faith of, God, I believe, but you need to help my unbelief. That faith also is what makes you right with him. You see that? When that man in Mark's gospel comes to Jesus and he says, please, Jesus, heal my son. And he says, if you have faith, it's possible. And the man cries, what? I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I'm like, I'm in, but I'm struggling to believe it. I believe, but I'm also doubting at the same time. And Jesus said, too bad, mate. Next time, hopefully you'll have stronger faith. What did he say? Your son will be whole. That's enough, son. That's enough. And you're made, and he was made right. So that's it, friends. It's an imperfect, stumbling, a mustard seed faith. Jesus says a mustard seed faith is what can move mountains. So we bring him our faith. We trust in him, and he makes us right with him. And the Christian life is just, we walk by faith and not by sight. We, God, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. So going back to the M6, going back to Wednesbury, the M6 is cleared again. The roadworks are finished. The diversions are over. Traffic is on the move again. And now you can go to Bath, to Stoke-on-Trent, and you don't need to go through Wednesbury, thankfully. All right. Sorry to anyone from Wednesbury today who's listening on, or perhaps. You don't have to go through. You can go all the way through. And for those now, because of Jesus Christ, you can get from your sin to God directly through Christ. You don't have to be diverted through the law and through circumcision anymore. All right, let's just pray, give thanks to God for what he's done for us. We, the Gentiles, have been brought in. Father, we just come before you, and Lord, I just think about my ancestors, people I don't know the names of, or the stories of, hundreds of years ago, who worshiped false gods, who probably worshiped pagan deities, and who lived lives of sin and rebellion and ignorance against you. And you saw all of that. And yet in your mercy and in your grace and in your goodness towards the Gentiles, you still sent out people to come and hear the gospel of this Jewish Messiah, of God becoming a man, circumcised under the law, perfectly obedient to the law, so that I would trust in him and be made right with him. God, thank you so much then for people in this room who perhaps have had generations of people who have trusted in Jesus as Savior. Gentiles who love the God of Israel, who love the one true God, and who worship Jesus as Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it, Romans 1, when it says that you give us up and you give us over to our ignorance, that it wasn't a permanent state, but in your grace and your mercy, it was a temporary scenario until Jesus would come. And now we, the Gentiles, people from all across the cultures and countries of this world, have come to believe in Jesus, and we're now gathered into one body in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for him. In his name we pray. Amen.